We do welcome you tonight to our service, and we trust the Lord will bless our coming together in his name this evening. Do remember, please, the baskets at the exit for your offerings, the Missionary Council separate basket today for the missionary offering. And then could I just remind you of the youth rally, Martyrs at 9 p.m. Encourage young people to support this. Reverend Andrew Murray is the speaker. Our own after-church youth meeting will resume on first Sunday of March, the Lord willing, at 8:30 p.m. Monday, Little Sunbeams Parent and Toddlers resumes at 10:30 to 11:30. The Awana meets in the church hall again tomorrow evening from 6:45 to 8 p.m. On Tuesday, the Bible study and prayer meeting, continuing our theme In Touch with the Father from John 17. That's at 8 p.m. on Tuesday evening. You're welcome to that. On Thursday evening, there'll be a brief church committee meeting from 7:30, and then at 8 p.m. there'll be a Kirk session meeting. Friday, Youth Council evening of prayer in our Dunmurray Church at 8 p.m. Next Lord's Day, the services in the will of God at 11:30 and 7. I will be here, the Lord willing, at both services. The morning worship service followed by our communion service. We remember the Lord's death as he appointed us to do so in his word. And the evening time, the family and friends night service, special soloist, our sister Carla Hunter, and testimony from Stuart Nichols. And do remember, please, invite others to this service and encourage others to come under the sound of God's word. The times of prayer before each service at 11 and 6:30, Sunday school at 10 o'clock. Remember all those who are afflicted with sicknesses at this time. Do remember, please, our sister Mary, especially going through a rough time with this illness and pain and discomfort. Pray especially for her. Remember also Nessie's daughter, Catherine. Nessie's gone over there again at this time. Do pray especially for that situation. And again, the Lord will intervene for that family even at this time. Also remember the Stalford family. You may have heard today of the tragic death of Christopher Stalford, just at 39 years of age. Of course, connection with the Martyrs Church there. And do remember, please, that family, that loss. Remember his wife, Laura, their four children. I think the oldest child may be just starting big school, so it's a really tremendous loss for that family. So remember them in your prayers at this time, and that the Lord will give them comfort. We're going to join the singing of the hymn, Out of Christ Without a Saviour. Oh, can it be like a ship without a rudder on a wild and stormy sea? We're keeping our seats as we sing, and then if you're able, we'll stand for prayer, please.
I'm
out of Our gracious God and Father, we come to Thee tonight in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. We thank Thee that we're privileged to be in Your house this evening, under the sound of Your word. And Lord, we pray that Thou wilt minister to us as we meet together. Lord, we pray that the Spirit of God will be poured out upon the preaching of Your word. Lord, this is Thy means, the God-ordained means whereby souls can be saved. And we pray, Father, that Thou wilt do this work of salvation in hearts and lives tonight. O God, we thank Thee that Thou art able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by Thee. And we pray that Thou wilt do that saving work tonight, here in this very building, and through the preaching of the Word of God. We pray, Father, that Thou wouldst reach out to those who listen in. And we pray that Thou wilt speak to hearts tonight, and show souls the bankruptcy of their condition without Christ. Show them their lost estate. And show Thy people to the coldness of their hearts. And bring them to spiritual warmth again if they have grown cold by the way. Remember others who have backslidden from the church and gone away from Thee. O God, follow them tonight, we pray. And bring them again to the Father's house. We remember those who are sick tonight. We lift our hearts to Thee for Mary in this time of great need, with this awful pain that she's going through. We pray for ease tonight. We pray for rest tonight and in days to come. Remember her and remember her husband and family. Remember, O God, Catherine, we pray at this time. And we pray for healing for the body. We pray that Thou wilt touch her in soul and save her. Remember Donna, and we pray for this young woman that Thou wouldst touch her and heal her and save her. And remember her partner, draw him to Thyself. Have mercy upon that situation too. Remember, O God, the Salford family tonight. We think of Laura and we think of those children tonight. Our hearts go out to them, O God, and we pray for comfort and grace. We thank Thee that Lord, Christopher knew the Lord, and we thank Thee that the moment he passed into Your presence. But Lord, we ask of Thee that You'll give grace for those that are left behind. And Lord, speak to any who are not saved. And even, Lord, across this land, as tributes go out, that people will be spoken to, even through all of this, even in political life, that Thou wilt show them their need of Christ and bring them to know the Saviour. Move in this land, we pray of Thee. The darkness envelops us. The sin abounds, O God. The wickedness of man is great on the earth. We pray that You'll have mercy. You'll visit, Lord, our homes and our families. Those without Christ tonight. Those even in the church family who never darken the door of this place now. We pray, have mercy upon them. Lord, show them their lost estate and bring them, Lord, to Thee. Fill the seats again in Your house. We ask of Thee. O God, we plead with Thee. And Lord, visit Thy church, we pray, with mighty power. Bless, O God, across the world. Think of the Ukrainian Christians there. We pray for them. Lord, protect them and keep them. Remember them, over Donald's ministry to them through that mission. Lord, bless that, we pray. And meet the needs of Thy people there and of that country. Deal with Putin, Lord. Deal with this evil man and his wicked, evil devices, we pray.
Bring them to naught, we ask of thee, and send, Lord, thy blessing upon that land of Ukraine, and even work in Russia too, for we ask it in Jesus' name, and for God's eternal glory. Amen. Returning to the next hymn, Come Every Soul by Sin Oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. 221, it's on the screen. We'll keep our seats as we sing.
Together from the Word of God in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, the Gospel of Mark, and the 5th chapter. I'm reading together from this portion of God's Word. Mark chapter 5, and the verse number 21. Mark 5, verse 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with them, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus,
came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? His disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. Amen. And we know that God will bless to us the reading of his inspired, inerrant, and infallible word. We sing the hymn, she only touched the hem of his garment, keeping our seats, and then standing for prayer if we can, please. Stand for a moment if you're able to stand for prayer, please. Our gracious God and loving Father, we turn now to the preaching of thy word. I am trusting thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that thou thyself hast given me must and shall prevail. We ask it in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. I want to turn your attention in the closing moments of our meeting tonight to some verses here in Mark chapter 5, especially verses 25 to 34. And the subject tonight is just a touch, just a touch. As we continue our consideration of various portions and incidents in the Gospel of Mark, we come to these verses that we have read from earlier in the service. And after recounting the story of the man with the demon, here in Mark 5, the writer continues with two other incurable diseases, one of which is this woman in these verses tonight. As Jesus made his way to heal the daughter of Jairus, this woman came and touched the hem of his garment. On his way through this world, as he moved toward his great work upon the cross, along the way there were hurting people. There were people with needs. And on his way to Calvary, Jesus stopped to help people. You remember how he stood still to help those who were in need. You remember how he reached out to those who were in need along the wayside of life. And here we have a woman in a very serious condition of health. As throngs of people were pressing in upon the Lord Jesus Christ, this woman here, she reached out and touched the hem of the Savior's garment, verse 27. And when she did that, her life was immediately transformed. Jesus did the impossible for this woman. And I pray that right now, just where you are, you too will reach out tonight by faith and touch the Lord Jesus Christ. That tonight, ere you leave this place or this meeting finishes, that there will be just that touch on your part that will mean the salvation of your soul. Just a touch. Three things that I want to major upon in these verses and in relation to this incident and this miracle that the Lord Jesus Christ performed. First of all, her condition. Verses 25 to 26 of Mark 5 reveal that. A certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, had suffered many things of many physicians, had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. And here's a real person with a tremendous need. First of all, I want you to see that this woman was diseased. In verse 25. And because of this disease, she was left in the most terrible weakness, in the depths of misery and even despair. Twice in the verses before us, this disease is called a plague. This woman had a plague. Verses 29 and 34. In the original, this word has the connotation of whip. As a whip, this disease drove away the strength of this woman. It ostracized her from other people. It barred her from worship in the temple. And here, my friends, I suggest to you tonight is a picture of what sin does in a life. And we need to understand tonight what a calamity sin is. And what a plague sin is in the human heart and in the human life. One of the failures of the modern pulpit today, even of modern evangelists we listen to, is that most of them never deal with the sin question. And sin is never mentioned. And sin is not exposed for what it is. Are not shown for what it is as far as Scripture is concerned. And the problem of sin is minimized today, even in Christian pulpits across our land and further afield. But my friend, as we look at Scripture, we discover that it presents sin as a terrible disease. The worst thing that can happen in a human heart. You see, my friend, tonight sin destroys people's lives. It takes away the person's lifeblood. Sin always does that. It never gives, it always takes away. Sin never adds to a life, it always diminishes a life. And here's a woman who was diseased. And tonight, if you're not saved, you have within your heart and within your life the disease of sin. The only remedy for that sin is the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to see she was not only diseased, but she was desperate. Look at verse 26. And had suffered many things of many physicians. This woman had done everything in her power to get a cure for this disease. She had gone from doctor to doctor. She was going hither and thither in her bid to find some cure. From pillar to post, as we would say. And maybe you can identify with this woman in your bed to find a solution to some physical problem or even maybe some mental illness that you have. And you're doing everything you can to find the help that you so urgently need. There are times when even the best doctors cannot help. In fact, Dr. Luke, who wrote Luke's Gospel, a physician himself in Thailand, telling the same incident, indicates that she was humanly incurable. The Bible tells us there in Luke chapter 8, verse 43, and a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, who had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. As far as human healing was concerned, it was impossible for this woman to be healed of her plea. What remedies are you trying tonight to meet the need of your life? What doctors are you going to try to solve the basic heart problem of sin that you face? Well, there are lots of doctors that are proposing a cure. There's Dr. Pleasure, for example, and he has some sweet-tasting medicines. But I warn you, they are all laced with poison. Then there is Dr. Intelligence. Come and fill your mind with facts and get scholarship, and I will solve the deep needs of your life. Well, Dr. Intelligence may have something that will swell your head, but he doesn't have the deep need. He will not meet the deep need of your heart. And then some people try Dr. Religion. And they go to church and get a little salve of ritual, but Dr. Religion has never filled the void of anyone's heart. And it will not fill the void of your heart and your life tonight. Have you ever noticed a sinner as he comes to the end of his quest for heart satisfaction and soul fulfillment? Have you ever noticed a sinner as they come to the end of their quest for all of these things? Have you ever noticed how desperate people become as they go from one pleasure to another pleasure? As they go from one addiction to another addiction? And this woman had been everywhere. She had trawled the country and beyond. But there was no one person that could help her. As far as man was concerned, but yet the great physician, the Lord Jesus Christ had the answer. And I want to tell you tonight, friend, that the Lord Jesus Christ has the answer. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the answer to your need, to your the need of your heart, and to the need of your life tonight. Here's a woman, and she was diseased, and she was desperate. But here's a woman who was destitute. Look at verse 26. Going back there to Mark 5. And she had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. Again, Luke 8:43, spent all her living upon physicians. And that's what sin does. We're told in the Word of God that the prodigal asked for his inheritance. And he got his inheritance in advance from his father. And he went to the far country. And the Bible says he spent it all. And he was destitute. And a famine arose in the land. And sin will cause you to spend everything you have and will leave you destitute. And over years of ministry, friend, decades of time, I have saw men and women and young people destroy their lives in sin. They've been robbed of their health. And sin will rob you of that. It will rob you of your home, even rob you of your family, even rob you of your happiness. Sin will take you further than you want to go. When Saul was slain by the Philistines, after his death, the enemies of Saul, they came and they stripped his body, and they took from his body the armor, and they took the emblems of his kingship. And that's the way sin works, my friend. It gets its hold upon you and takes everything and strips you of everything that you have and everything that you've trusted in and depended upon. There is, however, a note of hope in the account of this miserable woman. She had come to the point where she knew no one else could help her. She was at her wit's end. She had nowhere else to go, no one else to turn to. She was a prime candidate for the miracle that Jesus Christ can do in the human life. She was at her wit's end corner. Maybe that's where you're at tonight. You've tried the broken cisterns of the world. You've tried the pleasures of this world. And you've found out that they have nothing to offer. At least nothing lasting to offer. You've been disappointed and disillusioned. And tonight finds you in this awful state, even as this woman was in her condition. But I want you to see, secondly, her cure, verses 27 to 29. Notice what she said in verse 28, as the scripture reveals it to us here in Mark chapter 5. For she said, "If I may but touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." In other words, she trusted in Jesus. That's the first thing. Where did she get that kind of confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, look at verse 27. When she heard of Jesus, word about was that Jesus was in the district. Jesus was going around. Jesus was there. She heard about Jesus. And she had heard what he had done in the lives of other people. It's a wonderful thing when the word about the Lord Jesus Christ gets around. The hymn writer put those words together and how true they are. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he can do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. And people from all walks of life and of all ages have come to Christ. They have touched him by faith and their lives have been changed. And maybe even, no doubt, many in this meeting tonight, and their lives have been changed. As they have touched the Lord Jesus Christ, they have trusted in Christ. And my friend, Jesus Christ's power is not confined to the walls of a church building. He has power to save and transform your life anywhere, at any time. Remember that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. And as we see what Jesus did for this woman, we understand what he's able to do for you tonight. He's able to save your soul. He's able to make you completely whole and make you a new creature in Christ. She trusted in Jesus. I want you to see in verse 27 that she touched Jesus. We have that again in Mark 9:20 and Luke 8:44. The other records of this incident. In the Gospels. She didn't touch his hand. I want you to see that. Because that would have been too familiar. She didn't touch his head. Because that would have been irreverent. But she touched the hem of his garment. The finished garment. She reached out to the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And my friend, tonight, it is only the finished work of Christ that will save your soul. Nothing else. You don't need anything more. All you need is the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what this woman did. And real faith reaches out to an object. You see, it is not your faith as such. It is not your trust that saves you. It is rather the object of your faith. The one to whom you reach out in faith. And so this woman here, she's in this throng around the Lord Jesus Christ. She's trying to get nearer and nearer to Christ. And she reaches out amid that crowd and she touches that hem or that border of his garment. Will you reach out in faith and touch Jesus tonight? The hymn writer penned those words, touching Jesus is all that matters. Will you reach out and touch him tonight? We're not saved because we're part of the folks that gather around Jesus or even gather in a church such as this tonight to hear about the Lord Jesus. We have to reach out by faith and touch Jesus. Will you reach out by faith and touch Jesus tonight? Just a touch. And when she reached out and touched him, the Bible says here in verse 30 that virtue or power went out of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the flow of her plague was on a collision course with the flow of his power, the Savior's power. And when the flow of sin is confronted with the flow of the power of Christ, Jesus Christ always comes out the victor. My friend, there's victory in Jesus tonight over sin. And thank God that victory can be yours tonight in this meeting. As you listen to God's word tonight. There is only one solution to the sin problem in your life. And that solution is the power of Jesus Christ. Generated in his person and expressed in his death upon the cross. And when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, when the spear went into his side and there came out blood and water, it opened up a cleansing flow that alone can overwhelm the flood tide of sin in the human heart. And oh my friend tonight, thank God for this fountain that's open. Thank God for this blood that was shed. Tonight you can be cleansed. And tonight you can be saved. And in that moment, verse 29 says, straightway or immediately, Luke 8:44, she felt in her body the tremendous thrill of life, the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, in effect here, the fountain of her blood was dried up. And Jesus Christ not only deals with the particular sins in your life, Jesus Christ is a Savior whose power reaches to the fountainhead of sin in your heart. He deals with the sin problem at its root. You see, men today want to pull paper over the cracks of their lives and they want to reform their character and look a bit better and be more decent. Not swear as much. Not smoke as much. Not drink as much. Not live such an immoral life. Paper over the cracks. But my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ deals with the root of the problem. The root of the problem is the heart, the fountainhead of sin. And he deals with that problem. This woman was cured immediately. And you can be saved immediately right now, this moment. Friend, salvation is not something you grow into. Remember an old Church of Ireland rector in Clonus, and Cecil will know that place well, and somebody went to him when I was down in the south and said to him, naming him by his name, "Are you saved?" He says, "I'm being saved." Well, I know there's a sense in which we are being saved when we're on the road already, but the man wasn't saved at all. He hadn't the first notion about it. Being saved. It was all about works, you see. What he could do. Going through the motions. Friend, salvation is immediate. It happens immediately. It happens immediately. The moment you touch Christ, the moment by faith you accept the Savior, you're saved in that moment. And if asked, many here tonight could testify to that very fact of that moment when they were saved. Yes, we notice her condition, her cure, but we notice also her confession. Verses 30 to 34. And he knew You see, the Lord Jesus knew that someone had touched her. And see the question there in verse 30. Who touched my clothes? Verse 32. And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. One woman in that crowd knew what had happened in her life. And Jesus knew, because the Lord Jesus knows all things, and he knew what had happened in her life, and he called forth her confession. And that's important. Notice that Jesus requires confession. Going back to the Gospel of Matthew, the 10th chapter, in verse 32. Matthew 10, verse 32. Listen to the words of Scripture here. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. With the mouth, said Paul, Romans 10:10. Confession is made unto salvation. Why does Jesus command public confession of my faith? There are several reasons. One reason is for your own benefit. Luke chapter 8, verse 47, concerning this woman. The woman saw that she was not hidden. She saw that she was not hidden. Jesus would not allow her to be unnoticed in what had been done in her life. She would have missed so much personal benefit and blessing if she had not made that open public confession. The Bible says that she told him all the truth. Verse 33, for the benefit of others. And when others see what he has done for you, it generates hope in their hearts. That's one reason. But another reason Jesus wants you to give a public confession is to bring glory to him. You see, salvation, the salvation of a soul, brings glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't glorify a church. It doesn't glorify a minister or a pastor or an evangelist or any human being. It glorifies the Lord. Psalm 50, verse 15. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. And this woman here, we notice she came in fear and trembling. Verse 33. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. She was shaking, this woman. She was fearful. In the front of everybody, she told him what had happened. She was timid. It was an ordeal for her to do it, but Jesus required her confession. And notice the confirmation he gave to her. Verse 34. Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. That's the only time the Lord Jesus Christ addressed anyone by daughter. He addressed this woman, daughter. You see, she was part of the family of God. She was part of the family of God. He was saying to this woman, you're a child of God. You're a child of God. And one of the great things about public confession of faith, joining a church and getting into the fellowship of a church, is that you learn that you are in Christ. It's important. People poo-poo church membership and never bother about it and don't do it. Well, it's scriptural to do it. You should do it. If you're truly saved, because it's an indication that you're in the Lord Jesus Christ. You learn that you're a member of the family of God. You have brothers and sisters in Christ. We're part of a family. We often refer to the church family, but wider than that, it's the family of God. And Jesus wanted her to understand the basis of her cure. And the Bible says that by grace are ye saved through faith, and not all of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And faith is the essential element, the vital ingredient. And another wonderful thing about getting into the fellowship of the local church is that it helps us understand your faith. It helps you to understand who Christ is and what Christian living means. Jesus said to this woman, go in peace. He said to her, go in peace. Here's a woman who'd been in turmoil. Here's a woman who was severely traumatized, as we would say. He was a woman who was in deep distress and deep disquiet and great discontent because of her condition.
The Lord said to her, go in peace.
He was saying, you have a brand new life. You have a wonderful life ahead of you. And she walked out of her plague and she walked into peace. Isn't that wonderful? She walked out of her plague and she walked into peace. And you know, the Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is not some pretense of peace. This is not some peace together peace by man. This is the peace of God. Passeth all understanding. And I wish tonight, in the time allotted to me, that I had the vocabulary to express to every hearer just now and help you to understand the wonderful life ahead of you if you will reach out by faith tonight and touch Jesus. Will you do that tonight? Before this meeting ends, before this night closes, that you'll just have that touch, that faith that this woman had. She reached out. She touched Jesus. And we sung those wonderful words purposely just a very short time ago in our service. She only touched the hem of his garment. As to his side she stole amid the crowd that gathered around him. And straightway she was whole. Oh, touch the hem of his garment and thou too shalt be free. His saving power this very hour shall give new life to thee. Will you touch Jesus today? Will you only touch the Savior? You'll be made completely whole. May God be pleased by his Spirit to write his word upon your heart. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we pray that thou wilt, by thy Spirit, write thy word upon the hearts of those that have heard. And we pray that tonight some soul will come to Christ and be saved by the wonderful grace of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're singing the words of a hymn that again is appropriate with what we've been saying tonight. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know thus saith the Lord. 462, we'll keep our seats as we sing.
listening tonight, and may God write his word upon your heart if you're not saved, or you're not sure, or you're in a backslidden state. Do speak with us or make contact with us tonight. We're happy to point you to the one who can meet your need. Just a touch. Just touch the Lord tonight by faith, and you will be saved. The Lord will do that work in your heart. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Father and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all this night and forevermore.